Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Collectors! We are back! We are back. It is September 11th. We're recording this on the Monday after a glorious weekend of watching the first weekend of NFL football. Lions fans just got to sit back, relax, and watch all these teams, you know, mess around and stuff like that. The Lions sat back as the first place team in the entire NFL coming in this weekend as the only 1-0 team. And I think we'll have some opinions about where how we look compared to the rest of the NFC North, but we'll get to all that in a moment. Before we do, we got the Blue Kool-Aid here to break down, get their thoughts on the Kansas City game a little more for those that weren't here for the rapid reaction after the game on Thursday. And then we'll get into our thoughts on the upcoming game against Seattle and our ever famous predictions. So Boo, before we get into all that, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. First, we have UJ.
Hello, Lions fans.
Connor.
Yo.
And Bob.
Hello there.
All right, gentlemen. As I mentioned, the Lions 1-0 after that stellar victory in Kansas City. Me and Rud Dog kind of broke that, got our reactions on the Thursday pod, so we want to get yours. But I just want to mention the Lions 1-0. The Vikings lose as a favorite in Minnesota against Tampa Bay. A lot of people didn't see that one coming, especially if you had them in your survivor pool. And then the Bears got absolutely walloped by the Green Bay Packers. So the Lions and the Packers sit at 1-0 atop the NFC North, while the other two 0-1. But
yeah,
Kansas City Lions go in there. A lot of Lions fans on the road traveling to the game too. Let's start with you, Jay. I want to get your thoughts on the game really that took place on Thursday night.
Well, first of all, it was just an awesome game. I was so keyed up excited for this game, as we all were, and boy, it didn't disappoint. Dan Campbell setting the tone early with that fake punt was just unfreaking believable. I mean, that really set the tone for the whole game. We were not afraid of this team at all. And they didn't play that. They never did. They stayed aggressive. Goff was just, I mean, it wasn't spectacular, but it was sort of masterful in its own way that he was so controlled and he was efficient when he had to be. And, our offense did what it had to. I mean, we played a really good team here, and we came out ahead. We did what we had to do, and this is what these games are not going to look pretty a lot of times when you're playing a good team like the Chiefs, and to come out ahead in their home field. Just there's not enough good things to say about this team the way they played, but and the great thing about it too is we didn't do a lot of things good. We made a lot of mistakes, and there's a lot to fix up too, which makes it even better for the coaches. We can't just sit here gloat about some great crushing victory. We got a lot to work on, and I see nothing but good things happening for this team. So much fun to watch. So I don't know. you can go on and on about this game. It was amazing.
Bob.
Yeah, I was so excited about that game. When I first heard it was on the schedule, I thought we could win that game and get on national spotlight and people notice us. And what happened? Because I I mean, I think this team is built to win now. I think like we're built for this, as Campbell said. And unlike what Mike Tirico said, I think there's no asterisk this game. Because you know, it was in Kansas City, which is a hell of a tough place to play. You know, I mean, that's, they have a home field advantage. That's crazy. And they went in there and beat them. So I was so excited about that game, and I'm looking forward to the rest of this season, man.
Connor.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I don't know. I think this might be the most special regular season game we've played in the last decade. Like, everyone was hyping up the Lions. It was a terrible place to play, and they just went in and did it. And, like, I can't remember a time in my life where, like, they just, like, proved that they're them. And, like, you guys have already touched on, the fact that they could not play a perfect game. They played a really good game, but not play a, like, it's always, they say against the Chiefs, you have to play a perfect game to beat them. The Lions didn't do that, and they still beat them, which makes me think that we're in for a really special season. I think the offense is only going to get better. Gibbs is going to get more carries, and I'm really excited for the future. But, man, I think this was our toughest game on the schedule, and to come out with a win is very exciting.
Yeah, all the Lions B writers had the Lions losing. Not the Kool-Aid drinkers, though. Not the Kool-Aid
drinkers. That's right. Yeah. We're all undefeated so far in our predictions. Oh, yeah. Which is awesome.
Definitely. UJ, what's a player that really stood out to you in that game, though, that you walked away with you know, if the fans – just talk to me about a player that you saw in that game that you wanted to talk about a little bit here.
Well, the ultimate teaser player that game was Jahmyr Gibbs. He didn't get the ball too many times, but, man – a couple of times they did. He just looked. You could tell his speed is on another level. It's just when he turns upfield, and that one play we ran on the sidelines, bounced off a couple of people, a couple of spin moves for a big gain. I mean, there's nothing but great things to come for this kid. So, if one thing really stood out, I'd say that to me. Even though we just saw it in small doses, I think we're going to see a lot bigger doses coming up.
Bob, anybody stand out to you?
Yeah, I was kind of going to pick Gibbs there, but I'm going to just paint a broader brush and just say our rookies kind of showed up, man. Jack Campbell making a big play. Gibbs, I mean, everybody, it was contributions across the board there. So I think the future looks bright. What a draft, man. I mean, early, it's looking good that we did the right
thing. And Connor, on that Chiefs podcast we went on, they were giving us a bunch of crap, like saying we're depending on our rookies. Ooh.
And they showed up. I mean, Brian Branch with the pick six. Mm-hmm. Jack Campbell had an amazing pass breakup that almost got intercepted. And Laporta had, I thought, looked pretty solid too.
Yeah.
Nothing flashy, but I thought.
Yeah, it's tough for a rookie to produce in this league and at tight end specifically. I mean, and he had a great opening game.
Yeah, he actually had one of the better ones. No rookie or no tight end this week had over 60 yards receiving in the NFL, which is pretty crazy considering how the tight end position is these days now in the NFL.
Yeah, basically just another way.
But no drops, also very important. And he also had a key block on the touchdown run from Montgomery.
Yeah.
So that was refreshing to see, too. But what about the defensive performance, though, you guys? Like,
I mean,
were you jazzed up about how our defense really stepped up against Patrick Mahomes? I know the big story for this game is arguably the Chiefs, specifically Kadarius Toney dropping the ball, but you know, the Lions took advantage.
Yeah.
And I think our defensive ends were getting off the line pretty well. And I think they were held a lot too, which didn't get called. That's my take. Maybe as a homer,
but it looked like Hopkins getting held.
What about the left tackle that was getting all the
Juwan
attention?
Taylor?
Yeah.
Well, he was lined up illegally for half the game, and he got the jump off early, I swear, on like 15 snaps.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Maybe that's exaggerating, but they called the flag like twice. All this talk about the drop balls, and that's how the Lions got lucky. They were cheating half this game anyways, so let's call it even.
Yeah, and I thought the pass interference was a bad call, too.
Totally.
On C.J. Gardner-Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
It's kind of I secondary thought that was clean. Awesome. Juwan Taylor also was one of the ex-head referees of the NFL saying he was cheating basically by being like a full half yard off the line of scrimmage. I don't know how that isn't called. I would imagine the Lions coaches said something to the ref, like, hey, this guy is lining up way too far in the backfield.
Well, I don't blame him though, because you know what? Hutch is a monster. Yeah. He is just, he is awesome. So hard to play. He is just a terror in there with a nonstop motor. I mean, he didn't get any sacks, but man, did he wreak havoc in there and made life difficult for Mahomes. And even the whole line actually did a really good job of squeezing the pocket, you know, but he is Mahomes and he's going to get out once in a while, which he did. But for generally speaking, they did a really good job. And wow, Hutch, just the guy's unreal. He's really good.
Yeah.
I'm going to correct myself too. It was Cam Sutton with the pass interference, not CJ Gardner. Oh. But Connor, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Hutch was probably my player of the game on defense, at least. I thought he did a pretty good job of containing Mahomes. I mean, he did slip out. Everyone was talking about that double spin move he did, which was cool. Even though Mahomes did get out of the pocket, it was just cool to see him send O-lineman on skates. So, and CJ Gardner-Johnson, I want to give a shout-out to his ski mask after the game. He went on in the locker room talking about how this ain't the same Lions, and he had a blue ski mask on. It looked really funny in a good way.
Did you see Brad Holmes on the field after the game celebrating with the fans, too?
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
He
is so hyped up. He is enjoying his life right now. That's a man that enjoys his job tremendously.
Oh, yeah. So glad we have him.
What a difference a regime makes. Can you imagine Quinn
No,
doing
Bob
that?
Quinn was like, you know, on one of those darkness retreats like Aaron Rodgers took. You know, didn't see him all year until the end of that one press conference they're required to do. Very, very different.
Yeah, Quinn got bent out of shape when Hawkins' hair grew long, remember? So,
I forgot about that.
Two different things.
Those guys are dopes, man.
But Dan Campbell said they expected to go in there and win. So that's a good mentality to have. I mean, I wanted to ask. So, UJ, you were praising Dan Campbell for the Lions going, doing the fake punt, which, you know, total credit. But they were on the Kansas City 40-yard line, 4th and 3, midway through the third quarter, I believe, or second or third quarter. I got to go back and look. But either way, they didn't stop them there, or they didn't go for it there, which I thought was really bizarre after showing kind of this, like, supreme aggression. I just want to get your thought on that.
Yeah, it was a bit of a head-scratcher for me, too, because I thought I was almost assuming they were going to go for it, just the way Campbell is, and they didn't. And I don't know. I'm not sure what he was thinking in the moment. Thought they'd pin him deep, trust the defense, but that was a bit of a head scratcher for me, especially when we were in there.
He's not predictable.
Yeah, you know? Sometimes does play it safe, and like we've observed that frustration in the past. But I guess if he was always aggressive, he would be aggressively predictable.
Yeah,
one of my favorite things about that fake punt that they did complete. Was watching the KC special teams guy like getting so frustrated.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic.
He lost his mind. That was great.
I know, but Bob, actually, and I want to bring this up because you thought Rudd Dog and I were too harsh on our offensive line with our comments on Thursday night. Just want to get your thoughts as to why you thought that way, because I didn't think we were that. We have a high ceiling, you know?
It was just interesting because before that, I was listening. For some reason, I was listening to WIP, Philadelphia Sports Radio, and they were talking about the Lions-Chiefs. And they were talking about how good both our lines played against the Chiefs and how they outplayed them. And then I turned on our pod, which I wasn't on, and you guys were very critical of them. And I was like, no, they played a great game on the road at Arrowhead. I mean, it's not going to be a perfect game, but they outplayed them, I thought. And when it came at the end of the game, when we needed a stop, they got it. And then when they needed the offense to get that first down, you know, to crank out the clock, they did it. So,
yeah, fair enough.
That's just my take.
I want a little more out of Lee McNeil up the middle. He was getting held and such, but they didn't call it. So, nothing to do. But I wanted just a little more of him after all the hype from the off season. And just the offensive line, I thought, especially on the run plays, they're getting stuffed a little bit too much, but I need to go back and look at the film a little more.
My thing is you're playing the world champs, you know, on their turf, where they're raising a banner. That's a hostile place to play.
Oh, for sure.
They're going to be good. Of course, we're not going to win every rep. And I just thought the Lions played well.
Credit to the Lions fans, though. There was a lot of Lions fans in that stadium.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah,
really impressed.
There was a Let's Go Lions chant going on at one point.
Yeah.
I was told. I didn't hear it, but
really, really cool.
I was reported.
Rumors. I believe it. That there was
one. But actually, you know who our highest graded offensive lineman was in this game for PFF? I know PFF
Big V, thoughts,
but it was Big V. Yes, how about that? Nice little surprise. If he can stay healthy and play at a pretty high level, that'd be a huge boon to the offense.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it was kind of a weak point last year, a little bit. So having some, and then of course you have Glasgow to throw in there as well at times. So,
And do you think this will help? I mean, not that maybe he doesn't need it, but will light a fire under Bugs that he wasn't able to play.
Yes,
and the
better.
You know, and they won without him. Yeah,
definitely.
So. Sounds like he's back on board from his social media. He went crazy and then he got
all these guys, so. It's always straight to social media these days. Sound like an old man, but
in my day, we wrote a letter to the paper.
Right. Broderick Martin wasn't active for this game either. I was kind of looking forward to seeing what he could do, but I'm sure he'll be activated soon enough here. But yeah. Marvin Jones. Do we think is this just one bad game, or do you, are you losing a little faith in him after this game? He didn't play great. He played pretty bad actually. He had his first career fumble ever at the worst time. He couldn't do it, like, you know. I guess there's no good time to fumble.
It's too early to declare his decline, but I mean, he's older, and I mean, it was a tense game, so I don't know. It was a bad game, but I'm not ready to like write him off by any means. But it will be great to have J-Mo back, is my take.
I wouldn't be.
I think it's good to have a veteran presence in there, and I don't think we're relying on Marvin Jones to lead the team or anything. So, you know, it's a little early to write his obituary, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see the rookie in there, though, this week, Antoine Green. I could see him getting a few plays in there, trying to stretch the defense a little bit. You know, the Jones thing, yeah, you can write it off. He's a veteran and had a rough game. But, you know, I think the leash is short with these guys in actual performances. So if they have a rough performance, Campbell's not going to tolerate too much of that, you know, these days. We're expecting great things out of these guys, you know.
Definitely.
If they don't play well, you know, they're going to lose playing time. So, I mean, he'll get a chance of redemption and all that. But, yeah. Don't expect to let him keep doing that.
I'm surprised nobody's mentioned him yet, but Josh Reynolds, I thought, really stepped up in this game. Huge.
Yes.
When the Lions needed that first down, Josh Reynolds stepped up in this game. And he just continues to be extremely underappreciated by more than national media. He's appreciated by Lions fans, but if you turn on broadcast or an analyst or anything, his name is never mentioned. He's a super. Ever since he came over to Lions, the offense has taken a massive leap forward. I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
Yeah, I think Goff, Goff's comfortable with him, right. And he's a reliable guy for him. And I thought he started the game a little slow, but then he became the big part of that game. So he had a overall great game, I thought.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, just on a Goff for a second, though, a couple of his throws were just really awesome. There was one throw where it was about a 15-yarder. I can't remember. But there was like – it reminded me of Stafford-esque back in the days when you see defenders' hands, like it went through a little tunnel, you know, just made it to the
receiver. Oh, yeah.
Right.
It was really an amazing throw. Goff just had a really good game too. So.
Yeah, 130-plus passes right now without an interception. When he doesn't throw a pick, the Lions are in very good shape to win the game. That's been proven out since he's joined the Lions.
He kind of screwed me, though. I'm not going to lie. Okay?
How far is he from the record?
What?
I don't know.
Goff is like nearing the record, I know, for like most passes.
We'll see if I can try to find it, but go ahead, DJ.
No, he screwed me in my parlay, okay? I had a 5-bet parlay going, and it was Goff over 254 yards. It was the one that blew it, and he had 253. So it's okay, Jared. I forgive you. Just keep winning, buddy.
That's why when he – who did he have open over the top?
So,
and he took
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, Amon-Ra, he could have – but then he's like, no, I got to get Screw Jack and the UJ in the parlay. So he
took
a shorter pass.
So let me tell you really quick. So Aaron Rodgers has the all-time record at 402. Tom Brady is second with 399. Third is Jared Goff with 359 actively. So – He is 44 away So two games, basically.
Two games, baby.
He could do it. He could do it.
He has to throw 44 times. But yeah. Any last thoughts on this game before we start looking forward to next week?
Not
really. Are you still riding on the high of Thursday night? Because I am.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Especially watching the rest of the division, I just feel better and better about the Lions every day.
I'm still riding the high of going into that Kansas City game because I thought we could win that game, and I just think this team is poised to do something.
A very blissful summer, Bob.
Yeah, I guess so.
My father-in-law asked how are you feeling on Monday morning or whatever, and I said I'll be great for the next 10 days at least. Just I don't know. I just got a little extra pep in the step, you know. Anyways, I think we should go and now start beginning to look forward. Let's look forward. No longer looking back. We're going to look forward. I'm doing the hand gesture. We're going forward because the Lions, they're bringing after this big victory on the road. Lions fans are already jazzed up for the season. First time in the history of Ford Field that they've sold out all their season tickets. And now they're coming home off a victory from the Super Bowl champs on the road. 1-0, first place in the NFC North, going against the Seahawks team that just lost by 17 to a Rams team without Cooper Kupp in Seattle. The Lions are 5.5-point favorites. I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling really, 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 really good about this matchup. And don't forget, Lions, this is also a revenge game for them, too. Last year, they lose 48-45 in that back-and-forth game, back-and-forth. Jared Goff did have a pick six in that game. They actually, I don't think that was his last interception. I'll have to go back. But
was that a reference to Caldwell? We thought they were going to do the back-and-forth thing when they were covering the bomb from Aaron Rodgers back in the day. But anyway.
No. But good note.
Sorry.
Anyways, sorry to distract you there. So the Lions in that game, 48. Last year, lost 48-45. This was in Detroit as well. They gave up, I forgot how many yards, over 200-plus yards on the ground, 320 in the air. Whew, it was bad, 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 bad. This is part of the historically terrible start for their defense last year. But if Jared Goff doesn't throw the pick six, they probably win. TJ Hockenson had a big game, 180 yards, two touchdowns. But, man, this Seattle team last week against the Rams, actually, I want producer Kid Jay. Do you mind hopping in for a second? I just want you to talk for just a minute here about what you saw out of this Seahawks team, especially the second half, because I think they have like 4 yards until like late
3 yards, I think,
of total offense in the second half. Just what can you specifically say, really quick? What did the Rams do to stop the Seattle offense?
They just kind of just like they got some like really good pressure against the Seattle offensive line, who they lost both of their starting tackles during the game, so that kind of helped the Rams off defensive line a little bit. But they got a lot of pressure, and they also did a really good job of like covering a few of the wide receivers too, and they stopped the running game. So I think they just kind of like shut them down as the game went along. Like they gave up like only 3 points in the second half.
All right.
Stafford looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Yes.
And my boy Stafford did well. And I think the Rams are actually a little better than people were saying going into the season. I don't think they're like,
if they can stay healthy, I think they'll be a wild card team. That's a big if.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they finally got contributions from wide receivers that have been hurt in the past, like Tutu Atwell, 119 yards. Puka, this guy, he was hyped up going into the season too. Also had 119 yards. Two guys, 119 yards each. But yeah, Stafford did look really good in that game. But Seattle, on the other hand, looked like trash.
I remember going into last year, you were down on Geno Smith and he had the crazy year. But do you think he's going back to reverting back to being Geno Smith again?
He was.
Did you guys hear the clip of him with the ball when Aaron Donald was coming right at him?
Yeah,
he's like, "Oh my god!" I thought that was really funny because that's how I would react if Aaron Donald were sprinting.
I'm so glad they got that. It was incredible to watch that clip.
I gotta look for that.
If you just type in "Oh my god, Geno Smith," and you'll see it. It's there. It's like It was on the broadcast, I guess. They had the field mic'd up, and it just, Aaron Donald's like two steps away from me. He just, oh my God, and he throws it like 5 yards into the ground.
Yeah. This does feel like a bit of a revenge game for the Lions. I mean,
absolutely.
They didn't get gypped or anything, but that was a frustrating game last year, and they had a good shot to win it. So I'm excited to just destroy him. I'm hoping.
Definitely, definitely. And actually, the Rams had pretty decent success, especially in the red zone rushing in this game. That's something the Lions could take advantage of. This is still a bad secondary, too, for Seattle. They didn't have their first-round draft pick, who a lot of people thought the Lions were going to draft, Devon Witherspoon from Illinois. He's hurt right now. But you have Diggs in the secondary. And Bobby Wagner had 19 tackles from in the last game. So that's another guy to look out for.
Is Witherspoon out this week too?
I don't know. I mean, we're recording this on Monday, so I don't know about the status of their tackles either. I would imagine they'd be questionable up until game time. So I thought Witherspoon might be out for a couple games at least, so I think he will not be back for this game. But obviously, I'm just making my best guesses early in the week. But this is a very vulnerable defensive team for Seattle, they've prided themselves on defense in the past, but they didn't really do a lot to correct it in the offseason, in my opinion. They still have Tariq Woolen, which is a guy I wish the Lions drafted, but they didn't. I can't believe we got to the fifth round. I'm going all over the place. But anyways,
Kid just said Witherspoon could play this week. He's practicing.
Oh, is he? Okay. So. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is what happens when we record this a little earlier in the week. The injuries are a little more up in the air, unfortunately. But anyways, Bob, just are you going to the game, Bob? Are you going to the game this Sunday?
Yeah, I am.
How
I am
hyped are you crazy. To be in that building? And are you going to bring some earplugs?
So hyped. Yeah, I'll be creating a lot of the noise. Probably should bring earplugs. It's going to be awesome. They're unveiling the Barry Sanders statue this week. Ooh. And everyone's coming off that Kansas City game. I mean, as we've talked about before, they already sold out their season tickets. This city is ready to go off, man. This is, I think the loudest game I've been to there is that Bears Monday night game. And I think
that was loud.
We'll probably eclipse that this year, whether this week or the Raiders game or something, but it's going to happen. I'm so psyched. You guys got to be psyched too for this one, man.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see how loud it is in there, especially against Seattle, a team that I don't particularly enjoy. I just don't like Seattle. I don't know what it is. I just never liked them. I don't know if it's like the Pete Carroll-ness of it all or the Legion of Boom era, because I thought they were kind of smug. I don't know. They just always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But Connor, just your thoughts about just the vibes of this first home game for the Lions this year.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, Bob has season tickets and I've gone with him many times, and over the years, you know, I remember the Fire Millen chants and guys would run around the stadium with paper bags in their heads and,
the glory days.
We've come so far as a fan base, and I think this city is just so ready for a winner that I don't think Seattle's quite prepared for what they're going to hear. I think it's going to be insane, and I'm jealous. I really wanted to go, but unfortunately, the person I was going with bailed on me, so no longer going, but tough. I will still be screaming through the TV hoping that does something, but I think it's going to be a very special home atmosphere this week, and I think it'll be that way all season. And yeah, every primetime game, every home game, I think is just going to be really loud. And I think opponents are going to have to think about that.
UJ.
Every week.
Yeah. The crowd, you know, Seattle's famous for their 12th man and the noise they make in that their stadium. I mean, they're actually recognized for it. But I think there's going to be a new, bigger, louder 12th man now in the league now in Detroit. This crowd's going to go crazy, and it's going to be awesome to watch. It's like the coronation of Dan Campbell walking on this season, walking out in front of that huge crowd. Man, it's going to be, I don't know, it's going to be electric.
Should Dan Campbell come out, like, shirtless and, like, leather pants? Like, I'm like a WWE wrestler, you know? And
you should come out on a Harley. You should come out on a Harley.
That'd be sweet.
That's what he should do.
Or come out, like, open a beer with his head and chug it or something like that.
Yeah, shotgun one. Yeah, perfect. That'd be awesome.
Oh, walking man. A lion on a leash.
Yeah, let the lion loose on the field.
Oh, my God. That'd be even better. That'd be the best of all. Or riding one.
Oh, man.
That would be.
Yeah, they should, like, dress up like a Seahawk and have the lion attack it, you know. Feathers flying.
Love it. Yes. Yes. Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
That'd be awesome.
I hope they, you know how before the games they have those hype videos, you know, Detroit, you know, and the whole. I hope they do a new one this year. That's even better. Last of them's good.
Did you see that they had Lions fans in Ford Field watching the road game?
I saw that.
I wonder how many people were actually there. It's hard to tell from the glimpse.
Looked like less than 10,000, like just in one, like three or four sections.
Way less than 10,000. It's a long way to go to the bathroom as opposed to like just watching from home. That was my first thought for some reason.
That should be a regular thing, man. It's kind of cool.
Honestly, if the Lions are playing a road playoff game, I would think about it. Like, you could probably get half
that would be
a full
cool.
stadium
That'd
there,
be different.
And it'd be really cool.
Yeah. That'd be really cool. So, facing Seattle, 5.5-point favorites. What do you want to see out of the Lions this game that we didn't see in the first game? I want to throw that over to you, Jay, first.
Interesting.
It is interesting. So I came up
with a question. I want to see. I'll go back to more Jahmyr Gibbs.
That's what I was
going to
say.
I mean, we just got a teaser last week, and it's funny how they didn't use him that much last week. Almost like Ben Johnson was purposely holding them back, you know? Like, we're not, even though we're playing against the Chiefs in a huge game, like, we're still holding back. Like, we're not showing everything yet. It's too early. They're holding the cards close to his chest. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how as the season progresses. I think Ben Johnson's some evil genius out there, and he's got a lot of things up his sleeve, and just more Jahmyr Gibbs. That's what I would like to see. I think he's going to light the place up with some of his runs, and it'll be fun.
And you know, I saw a meme. It was like because Ben Johnson was quoted, "We're going to use Jahmyr Gibbs in ways that you'll never, you know, think of." And then it was a picture of the bench. So I hope that's not recurring, like you're saying. I hope we use them. The Lions are notably like pretty patient bringing in these rookies into like the flow of the game and such. With the exception of Sam Laporta, he played a large portion of this game. But anyways, Bob, I want to ask you the same question too. What do you want to see out of the Lions in this game that we, you know, what's the step up?
Well, I kind of want to see just an overall balance, you know. Looking at last year's Seattle game compared to this one, you know, I want our defense to play a better game, you know, and contain these guys. And I'd like to see the passing game like open up a little bit. We had some Amon-Ra. I want more on Amon-Ra and, you know, get the passing game going, which I think we'll be able to do better at home for sure. Cause they always play well at home, and it's going to be so loud for the defense. So I think both sides of the ball can improve. So that's what I'm looking for. Just general overall team play, you know, to get better compared to last year. So
definitely, Connor.
We didn't pass to Penei Sewell nearly enough against the Chiefs. No, I'm kidding. I kind of touching on what Bob said. I think I'd just like to see the offense kind of dial it up a little bit more, get a little bit more of that creative play calling from Ben Johnson that we knew and loved last year. And I'd like to see Goff hit 3 touchdown passes next week. It'd be really cool.
And a couple, oh my gods, out of the defense, Geno Smith, when they're coming at him.
You know, maybe Hutch will come after him this time, or Ali McNeil, or who knows? Maybe anyone.
Hopefully they mic him up.
James Houston might get him. Who knows?
But man, oh man, I'm really excited to see what this defense can do, especially if Seattle has both their tackles out or are playing injured. It looks like Abe Lucas has like a. An old knee injury that he's re-aggravated. They won't know him like roughly till game time if he's going to play. And then Charles Cross, their other tackle, has like a toe injury that is also extremely nagging him. If you're a big man with a hurt toe, ain't good. So even if these guys play, they might be playing severely banged up, which could be a major boon to this deep Lions defensive line. I want to see more out of Charles Harris in this game than we saw in game one. He kind of disappeared on me in the first game against Kansas City. I want to see more out of him in this game. And I hope Aquara is activated in this game. I want to see him come out and show up for a few plays. I think he could show up a little extra motivation playing at home. And I want to see our offensive line just be a little better than last week. I know they were good, but I want to see it be great. I want to see them be as capable as we know they are, which is the top one or two offensive line in the NFL, or top three at the very least. I didn't think they played like top three. I thought they played like a top 10 offensive line last week, you know? But
yeah, I got you. Hey, I heard when Charles Cross injured his toe, they called a tow truck right away.
All right, podcast over.
On that note.
Even before the predictions were on that note. All right.
Awesome. It's just over.
I still want to make the t-shirt that just says on that note. Drinking the blue Kool-Aid on the back.
We'll make millions.
We'll make billions.
Billions. Yes. But yeah, I mean, this is a Seahawks team. I would imagine the Lions are going to throw a lot of intermediate to deep routes. They can be severely exposed. Amon-Ra should have absolute field day against this defense, in my opinion. Now, if Witherspoon plays at it, that adds an interesting layer. You know, top five cornerback, but he's coming off an injury. It'll be his first game if he does play. And Amon-Ra is going to show him, you know, what's up. He's going to introduce him to the NFL. A little bit, but I think this is just a super favorable matchup. I'm surprised the line's actually not a little higher. I would imagine it might go a little higher as we get closer to game time. But how about on the defense side of the ball? We mentioned some offense players. Do you guys have any defense players you wanted to maybe see step up? I want to see Kirby Joseph kind of reclimate for long pass that he gave up last week.
Yeah, I'd like to see Kirby get a pick this week. I want to see those turnovers start happening for our defense. A little competition between C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Kirby Joseph for the lead.
I'd love a C.J. pick. Oh, that would get me going.
Oh, that would get the whole get the crowd hyped up. I mean, man's already a hype machine. Oh, yeah. So that would get the crowd actually going. Good.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. That'd be awesome.
I mean, Seattle does have a deep receiving core definitely is a concern. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. I thought Metcalf might get suspended because he put a horrible hit. Like, the play was over. They're on the far side of the field, and DK Metcalf just ran up full speed and decked somebody from behind on the Rams. Right, Kid J, right? That's what happened? I saw the video, but you're watching full game. Do you think Metcalf deserved a suspension? Yeah, suspension.
I don't think so, but that was
nasty. So you like when opposing players just knock your guys over for no reason at full speed?
No, I don't like it.
All right.
Well, that answers that question, Big Z.
I don't know. A lot of people. I saw people calling for suspension stuff because it was a pretty dirty hit, like for... I don't know, but seems like he might play.
Kid J's old school, you know, knock him down, get back out.
Get up. Good crying.
Suspensions.
Jackson, let him play. Jackson Smith and the Jigba as well, their first round pick. I had 3 catches for 13 yards last week. I mean, they only had 112 total passing last week. It was not a good showing for them. But yeah, I mean, the way at least that these backup tackles come in, they cannot pick up these stunts as well, and that's where the Rams are really successful last week, was stunning up the middle with, I mean, when you have a guy like Aaron Donald, the stunts work a little faster, but I would still like the Lions to get a little creative, confuse this offensive line, and get additional pressure that way as well. And I want to see more Jack Campbell, because I liked what I saw in the first game. I want to see a little more of Jack Campbell, especially in the pass coverage. He's probably going to go against like the DNs, like Will Disley, and maybe cover the running back, like Kenneth Walker or Charbonnet. Kenneth Walker probably is more likely to take the receptions out of the backfield than Charbonnet for this Seattle offense. Yeah, but this is a defense that could definitely be exposed. Are you guys excited to see Diggs back in the building in Ford Field for a second year in a row?
Yeah.
Yeah, I always liked him, and I feel like he got a... It wasn't fair the way he was pushed out of Detroit, so I was actually happy to see him do well in Seattle. He became a cornerstone for them.
Yeah, he's definitely been a leader for them.
Yeah, all these people, the Quintricia people got rid of these guys. Like, Slay had a 70-yard mm-hmm. touchdown return right. this week, so, you know. Yeah. All these guys who are finished are still great, you know.
Did you guys see Darius Slay reunited with Patricia? Like, Patricia, like, walked over to him at practice, and they high-fived.
Oh, yeah, because he's an assistant for Philadelphia now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He is. It was the most awkward-looking exchange I've ever seen in my life.
That's pretty funny.
Slay has shaded him on Twitter many times.
It'd be funny if he still did it now.
That would be funny.
But, yeah, I will have the mighty have fallen, Patricia Court. Head coach to do all pretty much like assistant GM for the Patriots to offense coordinator to assistant on the he doesn't even have like a coordinator role or a position group. He just kind of a floating defensive assistant, I guess. I don't know.
They gave him a wooden gun to carry around, like in,
well, that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, gentlemen, so let's get to our last segment of the podcast.
What's that?
Well, there's actually two, but they're both around predictions.
Ooh.
So we have two type of predictions we're going to do. First is our roar. That's right, the roar of the week. That is where we're going to highlight one player, offense, defense, or special teams, Bradley Patterson, that we think is going to impact the game the most. And I want to throw this over to Connor first.
I've got nothing to base this off. I just feel like Khalif Raymond's going to feast.
Mm.
I think he looked pretty solid against the Chiefs, and I think he's going to continue to get looks as J-Mo's out and Marvin Jones is maybe not playing as well as he used to. And I think Khalif's going to have a really big game. He's my roar of the week.
Are you thinking punt return, or are you thinking receiving? And how, if so, how many receiving yards?
I was thinking more in the receiving yards. I'm going to say he gets 112 receiving
Holy
yards.
Holy cow. Wow.
I think he's going to really pop off. Wow. And he's going to get one touchdown.
Let's go.
That's the drinking the boo Kool-Aid take, and I realize other people may think that's ridiculous, but that's
beautiful.
That's my pick.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Bob.
I like it. Yeah. We're just doing the first prediction here.
Yeah, the roar of the week. Roar.
Well, it's not my roar of the week, but Jack Fox, I think, will not punt this game. He'll be sitting on the bench with the Mountain Dew bottle dipping, you know, spitting in it, and just watching the game. But my roar of the week is I'm going to go Jahmyr Gibbs. I think this is it. Home crowd, you know, the lights of home, and he's just going to go off on that field, man. We're going to see a couple runs, and I think some big stuff in the passing game from him. So Gibbs is my guy.
Gibbs, I like it. We like it. The fans like it. I think the listeners like it. It's a beautiful pick. All right, UJ.
All right, I'm going to go with Hutch on this one. I think he's ripe for a huge game here. Geno Smith's going to have nightmares about him after this game. Two, maybe three sacks in this game and a bunch of pressures, bunch of tackles. He's going to be a dominant force in this game. So I'm going with our boy Hutch.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, like I went with a rookie last week, Brian Branch. I'm going to go with another rookie this week, Jack Campbell. I think Jack Campbell gets in a little more this game. I think he gets a pick in this game, too, over the middle at some point. So Jack Campbell, I think, is just going to get more and more involved in this defense as we progress forward. And maybe I'm picking it too early in the season, highlighting him as my roar of the week. But the roar is coming out of my belly. I'm feeling Jack Campbell right now. I can't stop it. It's destiny.
He was your favorite guy in the draft. I remember that, yeah.
He was your favorite, I know. I mean, I liked him, but you were really on, you and Road Dogg are really, really in the Campbell train.
I like it, though, Z. I like it.
All right.
I like it.
So now let's get to our... Oh, by the way, if you don't like our name, Roar of the Week, well, that's okay, because we still take a recommendation. Set us up on Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid or Twitter at Drinking Lions. Right now, we're going to roar every week until somebody tells us not to or gives us a better suggestion. Anyways, let's go to our last segment, which is our... Again, predictions is two categories, Roar of the Week, and now it's our predictions.
They're gonna predict the score of the game. Maybe we don't have to call Roar of the Week predictions. You know, it feels like...
Yeah, maybe we could just
call it Roar of the Week and then predictions. It feels a little confusing.
I think you're right. Well, that is good. Yes. Because
I
had predictions on two subsets, but I don't know how to introduce the fact that we're doing predictions. Anyway.
Predictions hits harder when you say one.
We do our predictions right now, and I'm going to throw it over to UJ first.
Oh, well, a lot of pressure here.
Mm-hmm.
This is a revenge game, big revenge game for our Lions, and
huge.
You know, Geno Smith, he had a big year last year, but the guy sucks. Come on, let's face it, man. He's been horrible his whole career, and all of a sudden he has one good year, and this guy's no way, man. He had a lucky year last year. We're going to crush this guy. Our lines, defense and offense, are going to dominate in this game. And I don't think it's going to be a very close game, to be honest with you. I think the Lions are going to come out just guns a-blazing. Oh, man, we're going to win this thing big. I'm really saying 42-10. They're going to get a lucky touchdown somehow or another, maybe a field goal. But I think it's going to be a – I really do think this is going to be a one-sided game. It's hard to say who's going to be the player of the game. There's going to be a lot of people with a lot of stats. But I'm going to go with Jared Goff in this one. I think he's going to light it up. He's going to hit a lot of different receivers, have 350-plus yards and at least three touchdowns, at least. Wow. And my score is going to be 42-10. We're going to – this is going to be a dominant game. Dominant from the game.
Rod Dog, is that you?
I got his prediction with me too.
UJ is 42-10. Now we have Rud Dog's prediction.
Okay, I'm going to give it to you exactly as he wrote it to me. Okay, Lions 73, Seahawks 0. He says we don't punt the whole game. Hutch has 3 sacks. Branch and CJGJ pick 6s each. Gibbs 200 yards and 3 TDs. Goff throws for 5 TDs. How's that?
I'll do the math later, but
yeah, I know.
We'll take it for his word.
Well, with 73 points, you could probably do it. It probably works. And his pick to roar was Hutch, too. So, anyway, that's his prediction.
All right.
But I'm actually sort of in line with him this week. I really think we're going to dominate this game. Maybe not the score he says, but I'm seeing a big victory this week.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. Well, we have two dominant predictions. Let's go over to Bob.
All right. Hey, I like the way UJ has a roar of the week plus his game MVP. So he's got like two shots at it, you know, with Goff as his MVP. And but anyway,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, one's roar and one's MVP. They're different things.
Different.
I love the Lions in this game now, but the one thing is Pete Carroll is a heck of a coach, so you can't sleep on these guys. But having said that, it's going to be 45-10 Lions revenge match. It's going to be very one-sided.
Mercy.
I love this Mercy. This matchup this week. So
yeah,
I'm excited. And I think the offense is going to light it up this week and the defense will do very well. I like Hutch to get some sacks, a couple. So there you go.
Lions got
to
eat, right, Bob? Hutch.
Yeah, hell yeah.
All right. Well, we have 73-0, 42-10, and 45-10, right?
10.
Wow. All right. Connor.
I might change the vibes up a little here. I do think the Lions are going to win convincingly. I think Goff's going to throw for 3 touchdowns, and we're going to rush for another one. And I think the score is going to be 28-10 Lions. A solid win, and I think the touchdown from the Seahawks is going to be a garbage time, like midway through the fourth. You know, we're just resting our starters, and they're lobbing it up. So I'm going to say 28-10, 3 touchdowns from Goff, and a sack from Hutch.
Beautiful, beautiful. Wow. Like
I think we should have our predictions now of Big Z's prediction. Is it going to be a close game?
I think he's going to say 31-7.
We're going to eke one out here. That's what I think.
Yeah. Connor, you're close to reading my mind. You're close. You're close. I have the Lions.
Am I?
I have the Lions winning in a very similar fashion to the Rams. The Rams dominated the game against Seattle, especially in the second half. But I have, I think the Lions take a slightly bigger lead early on. And the Rams are down at halftime and then outscore them 23-0 in the second half. But I have the Lions winning this 31-13. So all of us predicting a great defensive performance from the Lions in this game, because they're going to be hyped out of their minds with this crowd and this energy. And then all of us at least having the Lions eclipse 30 points. I'm probably too low, but I can't revise. I made my prediction. I wrote it down. I can't change it. You know, it's an ink.
Yeah, I think Graber called. It's already chiseled in. So too late.
Too late.
All right. Well, there you have it. There's our ever famous predictions, but we'd like to hear your predictions, listeners, at Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. You can email them in too if you want, drinkingblukool-aid@gmail.com. Then we'll read them next week, see who's the closest. Whatever method, you know. Here's my, I'll give you my phone number. We'll keep it easy right now. Maybe.
Hey Z, I want to say something real quick. The way this season is going, it's going to be amazing. Everyone who is listening should tell their friends about this podcast, and let's all do this thing together.
Yes.
Let's join in. Let's get the excitement building. Tell your friends and family. Get your grandmother to listen. I mean, this is going to be an exciting year for Detroit.
Oh, yeah. We can already tell the Vikings are frauds. We know the Bears are the worst team in football.
Oh, yeah. That was the last thing I wanted to talk about. Really quick, just your thoughts about the Lions and where they sit in the NFC North compared to the other 3 teams that we watched this weekend. I thought the Lions looked like the class of the division.
Oh, yeah. The Packers looked like Jordan Love looked okay. I mean, he looked good, but the Bears looked so bad that it's going to skew it, you know? And the Vikings looked terrible, I thought. I thought that was an embarrassing loss for them. So I'm excited.
Bob?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that so far, yeah, and I think it will continue to be. The Lions are going to be the class of the division. Packers are a bit of a mystery because they played the Bears, who are terrible, but I think the Lions for sure are the class of this division.
UJ.
Yeah, I kind of echo you guys a little bit. The Packers did look pretty good, but you have to take that with a grain of salt because the Bears are just awful. And the Vikings, I had them in my confidence pool. I think everyone did. And they just laid an egg in that game at home. Just brutal. I think whatever luck they had last year is gone. They're going to probably
Vikings
be losing.
11-0 in one score games last year.
Yeah, it's probably going to be the opposite this year, right? They're going to be 0-11 in those games. So, yeah, right now the Lions are the class of the division. You just have to keep it up. Packers could be sneaky good. It's hard to tell yet. It's still early. But I do think we're the class of the division.
Definitely. I would totally agree with you. I've told Bears fans this, and I've said on this podcast, I don't think Justin Fields is a great quarterback beyond his scrambling ability. The man cannot read a defense. He holds on the ball longer than – I think there's only 2 other quarterbacks in the NFL that hold on to it longer than him on average, and it's Baker Mayfield and another one. But either way, it's like bottom-rung quarterbacks, and I would imagine the Bears draft a different quarterback next year by this time.
It's not Caleb Williams. I need
it depends. Caleb Williams says he has to like the organization if he's going to get drafted by them. Otherwise, he'll just go back to college. So
honestly, it's QB suicide to go to the Bears. I would consider staying if I were him. And the Bears
probably, especially if Virginia McCaskey's the owner. Like you talk about, like the Lions have had their ownership issues in the past. The Bears have their own ownership issues.
Yeah. I heard and he made $3 million this year playing college ball, so he's in no
hurry
to.
Yeah, that's a great point, Bob. That's a great point. You don't have to rush like you once maybe had to. That's a great point. So I think we're going to wrap it up here. I mentioned our social media handles. But want to thank sidelinereport.com for hosting the podcast. So always appreciate that. And I want to thank our producer, Kid J. All right. That was better. It was definitely better than being Rud Dog did it the other night, just the two of us. So that was a little
didn't go well.
But man, yeah. Lions. First home game of the year. Sold out Ford Field. It's gonna be lit. Bob, I hope you're gonna share some videos on the social media if you can. Let the Lions fans who can't be there get a feel for what it's like. Hope you get the tailgate or whatever you can do before the game, and then try to say hi to Barry Sanders for us too.
Statue. All right, we'll do.
All right, well, that's gonna do it for us here on this episode. It'll probably run throughout the week. Maybe we'll have some on Friday. Very, very quick, but more on that later. But thank you everybody for listening. We really appreciate you. And last but not least, as always, go
Lions!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Go.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.